Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. You can give us a call on the toll-free, toll-free line. That's 855-450-FREE. And, you know, we spent the last hour talking about sort of military stuff and the wars going on overseas and suicides among infantry people and things like that. Let's go on to something that's a little bit lighter, perhaps. Stephanie, what's going on in California regarding Amazon?
Well, some very interesting stuff, and I don't know if all of our listeners have been listening for the past few months, but just to give people a little bit of background on this story, I think it was approximately a month ago that California, the state of California, known for being one of the worst kind of police, big government, nanny states out there, passed a tax that was aimed at forcing out-of-state online retailers to collect sales tax for California to people who are buying things out of California.
So it had something to do with the affiliates, too, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Their affiliates in California or something.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, because this is what it's been bothering state governments all along, is most of them get their revenue from sales tax in some way or another. Mm-hmm. And how do we deal with people that are buying things from out of state and having them shipped in? How do we collect that revenue? They want it. They don't know how to get it. And they're trying to come up with ways to do it. And somehow or another, the Amazon tax that they instituted in California, and I'm sure bureaucrats across the United States and world were keeping a close eye on its implementation, so that they could figure out how to do it, too. California is a very interesting case. It is, I believe, the eighth largest economy in the world. If it were a country, it would be the eighth largest economy in the world. It is practically its own nation in many, many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so it believed that it had the power to, you know, make these big companies pay sales tax to it.
Yeah, and it was actually got the nickname the Amazon tax because it was kind of so targeted towards Amazon, and they did have a big kind of reaction that they came out with when California first announced this policy, saying that they were going to be dropping all of their affiliates in California because they couldn't afford to keep up with complying with these regulations and essentially turning into an unpaid tax collector for the state of California.
Yeah, sure. That's exactly what it is. And
that's what all sales tax is.
The 14th Amendment of the United States government says that there shall be no involuntary servitude. And to me, that's what it is. When I'm required to do accounting work for the government, that's involuntary servitude. If you want money from me, tell me how much money you want from me. Don't have me fill out some forms in, the stack of forms in order to figure out how much money I owe you. That's me being your account slave.
Oh, well, funny enough, Mark, you were just talking about that, and I was thinking of individual federal income tax returns, right, where they make you keep
that
track
too.
Of how much money you've earned and then fill out a paper explaining and calculating how much you owe them and then, of course, pay them. Well,
Then they'll check over your work, and if you get it wrong, they throw you in jail for signing something that wasn't true.
Well, exactly, but here's the kicker. There are some people who say that the income tax, the federal income tax, is voluntary and that you can get around it by filing a zero return and or so forth and doing all kinds of tricks or just not filing a return or other things like that. Well, the IRS came out with a statement that I read in response to those claims, and they said that the word voluntary in their statute, it does say that it's voluntary, but the word voluntary means that you calculate how much you owe them instead of them calculating it from your income. So they're just legalese. They're twisting around the name word.
I'm sorry, Wayne. For some reason, I didn't push the button on your mic.
Okay. Well, it's a system of voluntary compliance. And, yes, you are assessing yourself based on their formulas and their lines and their forms. But the word voluntary has been thrown around for many years regarding the IRS, but nobody really knows what it means.
Yeah, well, because
voluntary
they're redefining.
Sounds right to me. Yeah. I mean, you can choose whether or not you obey any laws. So, yes, I guess all of the laws in this nation have to do with voluntary compliance. And I would question if then didn't all the laws in the worst despotic organization government out there, weren't they voluntary too by that definition? If so, why? What was the need for the word voluntary in that statute?
Are you gentlemen familiar with the term Hobson's choice?
Certainly it is. It's a choice that's not a choice at all.
Exactly, right. There was supposedly this guy, Hobson. I looked up the etymology once, and he had a stable, and he said, well, either you can pay what I ask to ride this horse, or you can not ride a horse. And so that was his choice.
Yes.
So it's a choice where it's really not a choice.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kevin in Indianapolis. Kevin?
I've got a couple of points I can talk about real quick. I prepare taxes, so I'm familiar with the federal exempt status here in Indiana.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, I understand. But the Amazon situation is so incredibly pertinent to Indianapolis because we are bending over backwards to open up a new center for them here, and the state doesn't care about collecting tax for them or anything. They're not going to. They're giving them all type of tax abatements so they can move in and not have to pay any tax for the near future.
Sorry, Kevin, when you said we are bending over backwards, can you just clarify who are you talking about?
Oh, we meaning the state of Indiana, the state.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't own the state, sorry.
So you're happy to see Amazon come? I would be. I'm sure they're going to be providing jobs
awesome.
And stuff.
It's awesome. And then also we are huge into the FedEx is building on at our new airport, and that's going to be the largest FedEx hub in the world because Memphis is landlocked, so, and they're going to take over the old airport space. Indianapolis has been dubbed as one of the super cities of the future.
Is Indianapolis not landlocked?
Well, not the airport. That's
okay.
What I'm talking about. You'd have to go out and see the airport to understand what I'm talking about. FedEx is going to be able to expand way beyond. There's plenty of area out there for this.
I see what you're saying. There's room to build. Gotcha. I was thinking you were talking about rivers or something. And
rivers went out with the 1860s.
Right. I couldn't think of the river that goes through Indianapolis, and B, couldn't think of why it mattered.
White River, that's a famous river here.
Okay, great.
But the taxes is an interesting situation because in Indiana, you can file exempt status as long as the year before you did not have to pay federal tax. So that's what a lot of people are doing, but they're going to get caught because of the fact that they are going to owe federal tax and they're going to receive W-2s and it's going to state that. But the Indiana, you cannot legally file exempt on the Indiana portion of the tax. So you're going to owe basically 5.5% on whatever you've earned. Now, the trick is, of course, your state taxes is adjusted for your adjusted gross income. So whatever you pay the state on the adjusted gross income on the back of the top line on page 2, that's what you owe the state.
Yeah,
my eyes have glazed over.
You're saying that Indianapolis is going to be this big city of the future, and I really just wonder when Indiana is competing with a 5% income tax, probably a sales tax, likely a property tax that's prohibitive too. You know, how are they going to compete with states like, say, New Hampshire, where there is no income tax, there is no sales tax?
Geographics. Mm-hmm. Plus,
that matters.
Plus, the corporation tax is going to be incredibly low. And say they receive abatements where they don't pay any corporate tax for 10, 20, 30 years.
That is one way that government bureaucrats can give get companies to come by is by giving
bait and switch.
One serf advantages over other serfs. So I mean, you've got to pay your taxes, but these corporations. If you start a corporation, you've got to pay taxes for it, but this bigger corporation doesn't have to because it built its company up in some other place and now is moving over there,
right,
taking those advantages with it.
In the late 40s, we had Western Electric, we had Ford Motor Company, we had GE, we had Chrysler with huge plants out on the east side. And those died a slow death in the 80s and 90s. And now we're coming in with medicals. We're going to have a huge medical center in the downtown area that's going to rival the Herman Center in Houston, Texas.
All right. Well, get the Chamber of Commerce to put some ads on Free Talk Live. Thanks for the call.
Oh, no, thanks.
Appreciate it. You know, Indiana is listed as one of the 5 states to weather this financial storm by Addison Wiggin. He does a newsletter called the Apogee Advisory. New Hampshire and Indiana are 2 of the 5 of those states.
Indiana was rated high on the Mercatus Center's, most free states.
Nah, doesn't have the free state
project. Well, compared to the surrounding states, though, it's probably doing much better relatively.
That much is true. 855-450-FREE. Thanks very much.
Imagine you're on trial. The charge against you, violating one of the hundreds of laws Congress passes each year. You rise in your defense and say, Your Honor, I didn't know about this law. How will the judge respond? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedDC.org, and I think you know the answer. The judge will reply, Ignorance of the law is no excuse. So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizedDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. We want to slow the politicians down. We want to reduce the size and power of the federal government, and we want them to sweat the details, just like you do. Check out DownsizedDC.org, because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you can be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning, this product contains nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with this product prior to use. This product not designed for use by pregnant women. You must be 18 years or older to purchase this product.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733, the SACL CAI toll-free line. Give us a call, talk about what you want to talk about. You know that cigarettes will kill you, and you've probably been thinking about giving the e-cigarette a try. It's a healthier option, 22,000 times healthier. Listen to this offer from Vaporsmiths.com. A pack-a-day smoker will already save about $120 a month, so you already start being richer, feeling better, smelling better. What else could you want? How about a free starter kit? Just purchase 40 cartomizers with the coupon code FTL and you'll get a free starter kit. Plus, since it's an order over $60, you get free shipping. It's actually $69, $70, somewhere in there. You can call 855-2-GET-VAPOR or go to Vaporsmiths.com, 855-2-GET-VAPOR, Vaporsmiths.com. This is one of the best made e-cigarettes available on the market today, and you can get it for free with the purchase of 40 cartomizers. Use coupon code FTL at Vaporsmiths.com. And let's go directly to Hannah in Connecticut. Hannah.
So I wanted to talk about something that Stephanie and Mark, you guys, were discussing a few days ago.
Okay.
Namely, spanking and disciplining kids. Well, more just discipline in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was on Saturday evening. There was a gentleman who called in that said the statement, maybe I don't have entirely what his meaning was, but the statement was something to the effect of, you need to spank your children in order for them to be godly. And
the Bible commands us to do so, and right. He didn't have a logical leg to stand on, Hannah. He was just reciting whatever he heard.
And since I, with my child, have not obeyed the dictates of a 2,000 to 4,000-year-old Iron Age document that suggests that I, would, by sparing the rod, I am spoiling my child, I just haven't felt that the need to spank. I don't think that whatever situation we've been able to handle. He's three. What's he going to do? We use timeouts and other forms of discipline up to this point. So what do you have to say about it, Hannah?
Well, I would even go so far as to say that all forms of discipline, even timeouts and even using extrinsic rewards for kids, are actually detrimental to their development.
Hannah's been reading Unconditional Parenting by Alfie Kohn, right, Hannah?
I have, yes. Well, actually listening.
Awesome.
Listening to Wes Bertrand's Complete Liberty series on that.
Highly recommended.
Yeah, me too, yeah. So I think it's really important to first determine what your goal is in raising a child. If your goal is to just modify their behavior and kind of train them like a dog, then yeah, discipline is a great tool for getting them to obey. But it's really not addressing the needs of the kids. It's not getting in touch with what they're needing when they're acting a certain way. And a lot of times kids and adults will lash out. They'll say really mean things, or they'll even be kind of violent because they have some unmet need and they don't know how to express it in a productive way.
So like chimpanzees.
Huh?
They sound like chimpanzees to me.
Well, what's that have to do with, what kind of needs do chimpanzees that they can't meet?
Well, they all of a sudden get violent towards each other.
I see.
Well, but children, I think we would all agree they need things, right? They need attention, affection, love,
hard to say
food,
otherwise.
Sleep. But sometimes they may not be able to express those needs in an articulate way, like even some adults can't express them in an articulate way, right?
But
yeah, exactly.
To some extent, and being the the only parent currently of a toddler in this conversation, Wayne, you have two kids, and so you can appreciate this probably to some extent.
I can appreciate it too. I was a kid.
Well, I don't know that you can. What I'm going to say here is that kids are very they're needy when it comes to attention. They need a lot of attention, and it's difficult for them to get it. By sort of an evolutionary imperative of a child is to be the most important thing in the minds and hearts of their parents, to the exclusion of everything else, because that way they get cared for and they get taken care of and all the things that they need, being a smaller, weaker individual in a group setting. So what that results in is, kids constantly need and want the attention of an adult, and they can't always get it. So they don't necessarily go off and play on their own, as one might imagine. What I believe when my son Jack acts out, he tends to do things to the dog. He'll hit it with sticks, hit my poor Fruit Loop with sticks, or he chases her with this big ball that my wife does exercises on, a Resist-A-Ball or something like that.
I can see it.
And, the dog is a little freaky anyway, and, being chased with a big rubber ball, upsets her, and, he pokes her with forks, and he does all kinds of things to this dog. And I can only assume that means he's bored and wants the attention of an adult, but really how much attention can a kid who is the only child in the house possibly get from parents? I mean, you know, my wife's doing puzzles with him all the time, reading to him all the time, and when he's not getting her attention, the 20% of the time that she's not paying attention to him, that he's awake, he's doing things at times that are naughty. And what does one do?
I think a lot of people, when they say naughty, I understand. I'm sure it's really frustrating when that happens. It's
let's take the dog out and shoot it so you can't mess with him anymore. It's really frustrating.
I bet it sometimes feels like you're like at the end of your rope. Like, how do we get the dog and Jack to get along? But you know, maybe his needs for attention are met, and maybe he's simply just curious.
What happens to the dog when you stick a fork in it.
Yeah, so like, you can give him that clarity that he's needing and explain.
How much clarity? How many times? This isn't something that started this month.
Sometimes kids need very much patience and loving explanation over and over again.
And I wonder what this would be like if this was a brother or sister that he's hitting in the head with a stick and poking with forks and chasing around with things that frighten them. And at some point it would seem like discipline might be in order in this situation.
But what I was going to say about that is. Discipline is a good quick fix. If you want a child to stop doing something that you don't like and easily resolve the conflict in the short term, then yeah, that's a great solution. But it's still really not addressing what's going on in the kid. And
but how do you know what's going on? Like, I'm just guessing that Jack wants attention.
And the kids don't come with owner's manuals.
Okay, so empathizing with a three-year-old who communicates on the level of, Jack wants beans, or you know, like his communication skills are pretty rudimentary.
Are you feeling hungry, Jack?
Right. He's not poking the dog with a fork because he's hungry. I don't think.
Well, right. But if he says I want beans, or if he cries around lunchtime,
I've got the simple stuff down. I haven't figured out from a psychological standpoint why he keeps hitting the dog in the head with a stick.
So guess. Ask him.
Mark, what does punishing teach Jack?
I would assume that it would teach him, we warn him, you're going to go to timeout if you keep hitting honey, quit chasing honey, you're going to go to timeout. And, I've read this same stuff that you're talking about, Hannah, and I've got to say that I am without answers when it comes to, the hows and the whys. I mean, it might be a really interesting way to sell a course or something like that or benefit the world, but how am I supposed to know how to figure out what the three-year-old needs emotionally so he'll leave the damn dog alone? You want to hold through the break, Hannah?
Sure.
Okay.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com. What is that? Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing he can say is DoubleMySpeed.com. .com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email. Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com? DoubleMySpeed.com? DoubleMySpeed.com?
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com, and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com? Yes, it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-450-3733. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Give us a call. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. We've been talking to Hannah in Connecticut about the value of spanking and actually any intrinsic, was that the term, intrinsic forms of discipline for children?
Not really.
No, that's not the term? Well, we'll ask her in just a second. Yeah. First off, you know that the U.S. dollar is devaluing, and you can see it happening every day. You know that at some point a new currency will take over. Wouldn't you like to be on the ground floor of that currency? Bitcoins, they could be that currency. They're a decentralized, anonymous internet currency. They're free to use, free to accept, and free from inflation forever. You can see them anywhere in the world. Find out more. You can use them anywhere in the world, and you can see more at weusecoins.org. Don't be kicking yourself in the pants in the month. Your dollars are going down. Bitcoins, well, there's been a little rise in them here recently. They're at 1090. Learn more about bitcoins at weusecoins.org. Let's go back to Hannah in Connecticut. Hannah?
Hey, yeah. So, Mark, I just wanted to say that I can totally understand, you know, your concern for your child, and I think that you and many other parents really want what's best for your kid, and you want to teach them, you know, good from bad. And my main concern about punishment, I think you and a lot of other parents are coming from the right place, but my concern is that it doesn't teach the kid what you're attempting to teach him. Like punishing your kid doesn't teach him that sticking a fork in the dog is hurting the dog and that that's the reason he shouldn't do it. It's teaching him that if he does this, he's going to get punished. So he shouldn't do it or else.
And then once the punishment is removed or the reward for good behavior is removed, then the kid has less of an incentive to behave good, right?
Exactly. And it's similar with offering rewards for kids. I teach piano to a bunch of little kids, and I used to give out stickers when they would practice, you know, and do what I wanted them to do. And, you know, that would sometimes work to get, you know, I would be able to successfully modify their behavior so they would do what I want. But I noticed that they weren't really intrinsically motivated to be learning piano. And so I stopped doing that, and I really started focusing on what are they interested in? What sort of music do they want to learn? And a lot of times, you know, we won't get things accomplished that I hope to get accomplished during the lesson, but it's much more rewarding because I can tell that they're much more engaged, they're really enjoying it, and they're getting an intrinsic reward from the experience as opposed to just a little sticker.
Okay. So, you know, what I'm, and I think that that might be true as far as, you know, behavior modification goes in this way. But, you know, what I'm seeing is if you're having a behavior that is bad, as opposed to, you know, kids, you know, perhaps not being as motivated by piano lessons, but if you're having a behavior that is bad, how do you stop a child from having a bad behavior? By trying to figure out what it is that, that motivates them, getting in their heads and, you know, seeing. Because, I mean, I don't know. I tend to ascribe to Jack's actions as it's funny and interesting what the dog does when I hassle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, first you have to figure out what's going on inside of you. I mean, if a child is doing something that you don't like, you have to empathize with yourself and figure out, you know, what am I feeling and what need of mine isn't being met by this child's behavior, and not look at it as the child doing something naughty or the child being bad. It's really just their behavior is stimulating something inside of you. And once you can kind of take that, you know, that blame off of the other person, then I think it's easier to try to figure out what's going on with them and how can we deal with the situation so that, you know, no one's getting hurt, and without, you know, punishing anyone, and just to kind of end the conflict. Like, maybe a solution for Jack stabbing the dog is maybe when he does that, just remove the dog from the room. Put him, you know, lock him in a different room for some amount of time, and just to keep, for the sake of keeping him away from your child, not for the sake of punishing Jack.
Or I wonder how the dog's going to react to that, because, you know, does the dog think it's being punished for, you know, running away when the dog tries to, when the kid tries to stab it? And then what does one do if this is a situation with two toddlers rather than a toddler and a dog? I mean, you know, do you remove the one toddler that hasn't done anything from the situation, or do you tell the toddler who has done something, has aggressed upon his neighbor, that they need to sit silently by themselves for 3 minutes?
Well, I think the most important thing is just making sure that your kids are safe. But once that's been taken care of, then...
That's really the bottom line issue here, Hannah. I'm trying to make sure that everybody is safe by taking care of the person that hits people with sticks and pokes them with forks.
You know, Mark, this is interesting because my son is very similar in this way. And you mentioned earlier that he spends a lot of time with his mom, but maybe he's doing it because he wants your attention. Because he spends a lot of time with mom, and he gets
a lot of dad. He gets a heck of a lot more dad attention than most kids do. And the thing that I'm talking about is the kids are kind of attention sponges. They're made to be that way. That you can't give them enough attention.
Well, so maybe you're needing more free time or more peace at home, Mark, than you're getting.
The dog's getting stabbed with a fork, Stephanie. What's that to do with my free time?
Well, because you think that maybe Jack is placing demands on your level of time that you can spend doing work or whatever instead of spending time with him?
I think that he would take as much time as I gave him, mm-hmm. whether that was reading books or building. He loves reading books and building things and doing puzzles, and he would love me to sit there and do them with him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I think that there's a lesson to be learned in life, which is that somebody's not going to always think that what you're doing is the most interesting thing around.
Sure, and you can't always meet Jack's needs for attention, and that's part of the reason, I guess, why you have a partner there to help take care of him.
It's a desire for attention. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a need. The kids' needs are met.
Well, call it either one.
It's also difficult to work at home when you have a toddler, too, because they see you as daddy. They don't see you as daddy
Absolutely.
At work. And there's that gray area when you work at home is very difficult. It's okay if you live by yourself.
At this point, he can't open the door to the office.
Does he knock?
Well, he certainly will make noises when he wants to get in, and usually I'll let him in for a few minutes to talk about things. And but when he starts wanting to play with the equipment in the room, that begins to be a problem.
You know, I received an email over the last break by someone who's also kind of knowledgeable about these kind of parenting.
Do they have a kid?
Yes, they have two kids.
Oh, thank God. This, the advice of people without children for how we should raise ours is... Always, I imagine it could be grating for some.
Well, it sounds like you think it's grating.
I do.
I try to talk about children.
I do. I think that I think it's tough on people that have kids to listen to people who don't, to think that, you know, like that, like the advice on how to raise kids here, you know, from the we on high giving theoretical advice down to you in the trenches, we are gifting you with the golden eggs.
Yeah, well all of us were children at some point.
That's exactly. I think, Stephanie, that's a really good point. Like, you don't have to be on the giving end of discipline to understand its effects. You know?
Absolutely, Hannah.
And, you know, I mean, I've babysat. Oh, I know that's not the same as having raised a child, but I babysat. I teach a lot of kids. I'm witness, you know, parents interacting with kids really often. And yeah, Mark, I can understand it. It might seem a little condescending coming from me, someone who doesn't have a child, but I guess it's, I don't think
that Hannah, you may have children at some point, right? You may have children at one point, right? So you're taking the time to educate yourself.
And I formed my opinions on what it's like to parent before I had kids. I think that it's a great thing to do it. You know, it's an age-old thing where those without, there's perspective in having kids. And to claim that there's not, it doesn't seem to be looking at reality. I mean,
I don't think anyone claims that that you don't have a perspective because you have a child. You know, I just think that it doesn't invalidate what people are saying just because they don't have children of their own.
I don't think it's invalid. I think it is less valid because they don't have the entire perspective of the situation. Everybody has been a child. Everybody who's old enough to do a radio program and listen to a radio program has been a child, but not all of them have been parents. Hannah, I appreciate the call. Give us a call at 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live.
Heritage for the Blind reminds you to be kind. There's something you can do for those who depend on you. Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS, 1-800-DONATE-CARS today.
Heritage for the Blind is an IRS-recognized charity, and your donation is tax-deductible. Whether your car runs or not, we'll tow it away for free. And as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day hotel voucher to one of many exciting locations. So be a star. Donate your car. Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS or call 1-800-555-6689. And remember, you can prevent blindness by getting your eyes checked annually.
Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS, 1-800-DONATE-CARS today. Today.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Congratulations to our friends at eFoodsDirect.com. In August, they celebrate 30 years in the long-term storable food business. To celebrate, eFoodsDirect.com is offering the lowest price ever on their one-year Freedom Food Supply, even less than the price in 1981. For a limited time, you get 30% off a one-year Freedom Supply, which provides three hearty meals per day for one adult. The Freedom Supply includes a large variety of fruits and vegetables, dairy, legumes, grains, sprouting seeds, and more. Plus, you get a generous supply of their quick fix meals. This is the most complete, extensive, and affordable unit they have ever offered. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get 30% off a one-year food supply. If you have ever considered getting a supply, now is the time. Call 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. It's a SACL toll-free line. Give us a call. Go check out the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com. As you probably know, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, our main host, Ian, is off in jail serving a sentence of 90 days for standing in front of a police car for that he felt was arresting a police officer, the car of a police officer that he felt was arresting someone unjustly. And, you know, frankly, things have gotten a little harder to do around here. Your $3 a month in the AMP program could be quite helpful. It's amp.freetalklive.com. We've got perks for you. There's all kinds of little bonuses, including a commercial-free podcast, an AMP call-in line, and more. It's amp.freetalklive.com.
And are you frustrated with the lack of freedom where you live?
Yeah.
I was, too, when I lived in Massachusetts, but luckily,
you were.
I lived
in California.
I bet you were,
too. I hated it.
And Mark lived in Florida, right? And all of us have moved to New Hampshire in search of greater freedom. And if this is an idea that interests you, you should go to freestateproject.org and check out what they're all about. It is an organization that's encouraging liberty-loving people to move to New Hampshire and get active for more freedom in their lifetimes.
Let's go to Joe in Virginia. Joe?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Well? What can I do for you?
I
the point
wanted
now.
To say, if your dog is, or if your child is stabbing your dog with a fork and reasoning with him hasn't quite worked, perhaps a swat on the fanny might help.
No. I disagree.
These are things that I've thought. I've
Me
wondered.
Too. I've thought those things, too.
But at this point, I haven't exhausted the timeout situation to my mind.
Joe, can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you think that hitting a child can teach him not to hit or not to be violent? Do you think that's a good way to teach that?
A little swat on the butt will certainly teach him not to stick a fork in a dog.
Don't you think it's the same as using violence to teach him to be nonviolent? Doesn't that seem a little bit incompatible?
How can you reason with a three-year-old?
Well, a lot of patience, and I think that kids deserve their parents' patience and empathy.
Mm.
You know, well, oftentimes when people think of kids as bad or, you know, evil or whatever, they're often just not obeying what the parents are wanting them to do.
But sticking a fork in a dog could cause harm to the dog.
Oh, of course, yeah, and that's hurting the dog. And of course,
there
he's
three, and that hasn't, you know, like it doesn't seem to have the strength to really do anything as far as the weapons of implements go. But you know, I would like to forestall this behavior before he gets stronger.
Sure. Let me read. I have this email that I received during the last break, and applying to this current situation from
someone. Is it a short email?
Very short. Yep.
Okay.
It's three different suggestions of what.
Talking to Joe right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's three different suggestions.
I'm listening, Michelle.
I'm not Michelle.
This
I'm Stephanie.
Stephanie.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Apologize.
That's okay. Thanks. So this is three different suggestions of what a parent might do with a kid who is hurting a dog.
Okay.
And this is from a person who has two children. So the first one is ask Jack why he's hitting the dog or why he's stabbing the dog. And have you ever tried that, Mark?
I don't think he's got the verbal skills for it, but I'll be happy to do that the next time.
Okay. What about, like, guessing? Like, are you hitting the dog because you're curious what'll happen, or do you think you could understand a question like that?
I don't know. I don't think you'll get much of an answer. When I try to get down on his level, he'll look away, he'll look down. He refuses to meet me as far as eye contact goes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get him to repeat, don't hit the dog, and that's really about, you know, generally how things go.
Mm-hmm. Do you think
if you hit the dog, you're going to go in timeout? You know, like I have him repeat that.
Uh-huh. Do you think that he may be feeling a little bit of shame when he looks down or something?
I think he doesn't want to meet my eyes because he knows what he's been doing is wrong. I mean,
mm-hmm.
is unacceptable behavior.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the second suggestion from this person was, what about asking Jack how the dog feels when he hits it or hurts it?
I think we've talked about that.
Mm-hmm. And what can you just recap?
He doesn't have these verbal skills. I mean, there's different 3-year-olds are different levels of verbal skills, and
sure,
frankly,
not just verbal skills. It's reasoning too. Reasoning
yeah,
power.
I think that goes along with it. You know, I don't know what the reasoning power of any 3-year-old is, and it seems like it's mitigable comparative to an adult. But I think that they also, you know, I think they do understand more than often they can express verbally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. And also, how are they supposed to learn how to reason if nobody ever tries to teach them? It may take some number of attempts. So,
well,
and then
hopefully the dog won't try to get that across to him by taking a little nip out of him.
Yeah, does the dog ever retaliate?
The dog doesn't.
Okay. Well, that's good.
That's good that the dog doesn't bite him, but it is, you know, that what am I teaching my child by not getting the message across to him that you don't hit dogs in heads with sticks?
Mm-hmm.
When, I mean, it's not like this is the only dog he ever comes across. The neighbor's dogs do come by from time to time. There are other neighbor's dogs. I mean, has he ever tried to be that way with other dogs? Yep, you better believe he has.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he probably has the expectation that other dogs will react as his dog has.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I doing as a parent for him by allowing him to, you know, do things that will get him bitten by other dogs?
Yeah, he may just need to learn.
Joe?
I'm here.
Oh, there we go.
You cut out for a minute.
No, that was my call waiting going off. I was just saying that, you know, he may very well learn on his own by interacting with a dog that doesn't take so kindly to that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever tried to explain that, Mark?
I'm certainly not recommending, you know, beating him bloody, but a little swat on the fanny with a paddle to get him to stop doing it now may prevent him from getting bit later on.
It could.
Hey, Joe, if you, I'm not sure how old you are, but, you know, at some point.
I'm 46.
Okay. Well, you know, at some point everybody gets older, and sometimes older people start to lose their cognitive skills and their ability to reason. You know, is it okay to hit an old person because they can't understand what you're saying?
No, of course not. I'm a registered nurse, and of course I agree with you on that point.
So how is a child different than that?
Well,
they don't have the same cognitive skills as an adult has.
Yeah, yes, but they are expected to increase in their cognitive skills as opposed to declining. And certainly anyone, you know, that understands this can see that this is an older person who is losing their mind, nothing of their own fault. But, you know,
well, it's not the child's fault that they don't have developed cognitive skills.
No. I understand that. But the reality of the situation is if he keeps doing this kind of thing, one of these days he's going to come across a dog that doesn't like this, and he's going to get a chomp taken out of him.
Yeah, I hear.
Yeah, a lot of kids get bitten in the face by dogs.
I hear the concern for his safety. I really do. But if you hit him, he's guaranteed to get hurt. You understand that?
Well, I'm not talking about beating him bloody.
Right.
But you realize the psychological pain that comes from hitting and the inhibitory effect it has on brain development.
Of course I do. After, 9 years of grammar school with the nuns and my German mother, certainly I do.
Me too. I'm so sorry to hear that. That is not okay. I'm really sorry.
Nuns got me, too.
I just want to let you know I am not a parent. Even after five rounds of in vitro, which failed for my wife and I, and being a nurse, I was the one that had to give her all her shots and turn her into a black and blue bruised mess. So I admit I'm not a parent, and I understand that becoming a parent certainly gives you certain insights that someone who doesn't have children has. On the other hand, at that young age, I don't know how well trying to reason with a child is going to work when they're incapable of responding to you, giving them a timeout or saying, well, why don't you think about how the dog feels? Well, they just don't operate that way.
Joe, thank you for the call. And I think that the same argument that's had for, spanking that you've got, Stephanie, is how do you teach a child not to use violence by using violence upon them? And it's a powerful sounding argument. It really is. But how do you teach a child not to use violence by, the fact is I initiate force upon him by putting him into timeout. How do I, whatever disciplinary tactic, yelling? How do I teach a child not to use violence by yelling at him? How do I teach a child not to use violence by attempting to reason with a child that can't reason?
Well, and some people consider things like yelling or withdrawal of affection and love or time out. You know where the word time out comes from, Mark? It comes from operant.
Games?
No, it comes from operant conditioning, which is the studies that they used to do on pigeons and monkeys, where they would condition them when they heard a certain sound to do a certain thing, and they would give them a reward if they did the right behavior. So time out was a phrase that was used in animal research.
I think this is time out. Everyone's clear that this is behavioral modification. I think that much is true.
Yep.
And whether you're talking about pets, you're talking about children, you're still talking about beasts that reason to some level.
Well, in my opinion, too many people treat their children like their pets. And I think there are other ways besides behavioral modification that parents can interact with children.
Free Talk Live.
You know the U.S. dollar is devaluing. You can see it happening every day. You know a new currency will take over at some point. Wouldn't you like to be in on the ground floor? Bitcoins. They're a decentralized, anonymous internet currency. They're free to use, free to accept, and free from inflation forever. You can use them anywhere in the world, and their value seems only to be increasing. Find out more at weusecoins.org. Don't be kicking yourself in the pants in a month. Your dollars are going down. Bitcoins are going up. Weusecoins.org.
As a smoker, you know traditional cigarettes are unhealthy, and the taxes feed the very beast stealing your freedom to smoke. That's why the Vapor Station offers an assortment of electronic cigarette kits. Each rechargeable, refillable kit is an effective, affordable alternative to smoking. No combustion, no tar, no foul lingering odors, and no smoke, secondhand or otherwise. Just inhale pure enjoyment and exhale vapor. Take a puff just about anywhere without getting hassled. Get your e-cigarette kit now at VaporStation.com.